You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is the show for you. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Clearly, our start to the game was pathetic. Just lack of, I don't know, concentration, attention to things, giveaways, carelessness.
Do you remember how we used to do Stormy Monday?
We knew the counterattack was going to be the name of the game for them, you know, and sure enough, we just carelessly give away opportunities in transition and goals. To get good looks on our goal is just unacceptable. We continued to compete to get ourselves out of it, but two times giving yourself a two-goal lead or a two-goal deficit is a lot to ask, you know, of a group.
A sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Happy Monday, TFC fans. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Just as the big voice guy said, this is TFC Pitchside coming to you after a loss and getting ready as well for New York City FC. On the show today, Vancouver Whitecaps coach, former TFC man himself, Carl Robinson, will join us right here on TFC Pitchside. Thomas?
Overall, it was a win for the neutrals as far as entertainment was concerned because it was a seven-goal thriller.
You know, as much as we will discuss what went wrong here for TFC, I want to applaud the fans. That was about, like, when they tied it up, that's about as loud as BMO Field is going to get. After Jovinko's incredible goal over the New York Red Bull last year, after couple of years ago against Portland, ironically, the game that Will Johnson got injured.
Yeah.
But TFC, I think, had a three-goal comeback in that game, and Bradley went nuts. Fans were great then. But after the second Jovinko goal to tie this game, I thought BMO Field was going to come crashing down. I did.
So all that money spent went for nothing, eh?
Because
the whole thing would come crashing down.
You feel the
down.
Press box shaking under you. Do you not?
I feel the press box shaking on a normal basis. Yeah. The fans are amazing.
Yeah.
Win or lose, they're great. And I'm not kissing their butts or anything.
No, but
because it's just, it really vibrates through your body.
Just under 25,000 at BMO Field for this one. I mean, it was freezing cold. Gardner was closed. I would suspect if it was better weather and better conditions in terms of, you know, traffic and getting down to BMO Field, which was hell on Saturday night, I imagine there would have been a bit more of a walk-up crowd for the game.
Yeah, I kind of want to chirp the city on that. It's just poor with the Gardner. And they want to take that down.
Yeah.
What are we going to do if the Gardner's not there?
I don't know.
Because it was a nightmare getting home.
Yeah, it was an absolute nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Speaking of absolute nightmares, Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Oh, wow.
Jozy Altidore. That is probably the most absolute nightmare that one player could have. Struggling to score. Sebastian Giovinco, as we found out, is the one who decides who takes the penalties as they come on the field. And he decided, you know what, Jozy, we're down 2-0, but I have faith in you. You won the penalty. Go and take it and, you know, get your account started for 2016. And then, I mean, you cannot envision a worse outcome.
Yeah, everyone was at a high. Everyone's thinking goal.
Yeah. And Altidore's been good on penalties with TFC. I think he's 2-for-2 before this year.
And not enough has been said that that was an absolutely amazing save. When a keeper can go full stretch and touch the ball with both hands, okay, he read that clean. But it was a good shot by Altidore. It was a good shot. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I feel like he would have gotten more on it had he not injured his hamstring in the run-up to the kick.
Wouldn't have made a difference. It wouldn't have beat the keeper. He got both palms on the ball.
But today we do find out that Jozy Altidore, it's about as bad as you can think. 6 to 8 weeks, grade 2 hamstring strain. He will not be going to the Copa America thanks to this injury. And, you know, he's not going to help TFC either. I mean, he's going to be out pretty much till mid-July. So
can I just throw a positive spin on it if I can?
Okay.
He's not putting any mileage on that body now.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's not flying
wherever.
Yeah. That may be wherever the United States might play. He's in the shop like a car. Yeah. He's getting fine-tuned.
I mean, it's
horrible.
It's troublesome because this is his fourth hamstring strain since the 2014 World
That's
Cup.
That's the bad part.
And it's been a recurring thing since he joined TFC. It was a problem last year, was a problem at the beginning of this year. And you thought maybe it's past him just as he's starting to regain form. Yes, we talked about it. He hadn't scored yet, but he was playing really well. And then for this to happen, you feel for the guy because he's, you know, he's tried everything to figure this out. Changed his diet, slimmed down a little bit. Greg Vanney even saying today that he changes the way he sleeps. Like, he's doing everything to stop this from happening, and it just keeps popping up.
So, sticking with my my car analogy here, if your car keeps breaking down 2 to 3 times a year,
yep.
What do you do? Is it worth the investment?
You want to change it, yeah.
Do you want to change it?
That's the question.
I'm not saying I want to change it. I'm just saying.
I'm saying it's a major concern for TFC, and I believe it's a major concern for their front office as well.
It hasn't been in the family for a long time, this car.
No.
But it's nice and flashy. It's still new. Still has that new car smell.
Yes.
Are you going to change it then?
I'm not ready to change it yet.
You're not ready to make a decision on changing
it? No, I'm not ready to make a decision on changing it yet. You can tell us at Dan Riccio 590 at Unfit Ref.
Should TFC change their car? Josie Altidore.
Not car, Josie Altidore. All right, TFC pitch side. Let's get more into the game. 4-3 loss for TFC against the Vancouver Whitecaps, who hadn't won at BMO Field since 2008. And maybe I deserve a bit of a shame bell here because during the match preview, I said Vancouver had never won at BMO Field in their history. But it happened. And I just chose to forget about it.
You can't shame yourself. That's not how the shame bell works.
I need to correct myself because I made a mistake. And I want to thank Tobias for pointing that out to me on Twitter because it was an egregious mistake. I just chose to look at stats from when Vancouver joined MLS in 2011.
It's okay, Dan. We all made
and
mistakes.
After that, and totally chose to forget about that loss in 2008.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
I always love
okay,
that.
Okay, so
you feel
do I have
shame.
To go away for a couple of minutes and Thomas just takes over? I got to sit in the pedal. Okay, take it over, Thomas.
So Dan is horrible. He doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to previewing and doing recaps. But right now he's trying to make a point,
right,
leaving
myself. This is a penalty
with no prep whatsoever. He decides to go off script. How very unprofessional of you, Dan!
This is,
and just leave your partner.
All right,
in crime.
Shut up!
Horrible.
This is this is painful and a penalty. 2 minute penalty for all those listeners out there who just had to listen to you. So I'm going to stop that. Cut my penalty short, and let's get into the game. I kind of think. Look, there's a lot to break down here in terms of TFC's defense, who gave up more than half of the goal haul that they had prior to this game, right? They had given up 7 in the first 9. They gave up 4 in this one game to Vancouver. I think it's a little bit on defensive mistakes, individual mistakes that Greg Vanney can't help, but it's also a little bit on Greg Vanney, who his diamond formation got exposed a little bit in this game.
Yeah, and you could say also, too, that you know, Vancouver defensively were equally as horrible. They just got off to the better start. In a 7-goal game like this one, it was just a calamitous mistake after another calamitous mistake, a gaffe here, a gaffe there. Everyone was making mistakes. No one did anything right. The ball just bounced the proper way for Vancouver.
I think
7 goals.
Who did
anything right?
Yeah. Defensively, not many people were doing things right. But, you know, in Vancouver's favor, you know, when they have to deal with Sebastian Giovinco, it's a little bit different. But TFC, they did it to themselves a little bit here. Like Greg Vanney in the diamond formation with Moro and Betashore pushing so far up the pitch, you kind of leave Perkey out on an island and he makes a couple of bad passes and things go wrong. You know, Perkey, he had a horrible game and he was probably the worst player on the pitch for TFC in this one. But does that overturn all the good that he's done so far this season?
Of course not.
It's one game.
Yeah, and everyone was bad. Betashore was bad. Moro was bad. Just everyone was bad. There's a lot of people saying that Irwin was bad, even though as a
Irwin
keeper.
Irwin didn't make a save.
Didn't make a save. lot of
hard. Didn't make a big save.
Was the positions that they scored their goals on. It's very difficult to make that those saves. But okay, it didn't fall right for him.
Saves.
Which is why
he
was my man of the match and probably maybe even yours. I don't know. Maybe
no,
I'm stretching.
Kikuchi Mane.
Okay. Figured you wouldn't agree with me on anything. But anyways, you know, let's move forward. He made the saves. He made fantastic saves. But overall, it was just one bad mistake after another. You can't even dissect this game because the one thing that's actually scary to me is that twice TFC were two goals down. Twice. Right off the bat, quick goals. I mean, 18 minutes is not that quick, but starting off a game 18 minutes in and you're down 2-0 at home, that's awful. And then you bring all that momentum, all that energy, you get the crowd on their feet again, it's 2-2, and then within 2 minutes, within 4 minutes they score to take the lead, and 2 minutes later, it's a two-goal lead again. That's what's scary.
Within 6 minutes, it's 4-2.
Yeah, and I don't want to see that again.
And I think that's kind of where I'm getting at here with Vanny maybe getting a little bit wrong, and also crediting the man who will join the show in a couple of minutes, Carl Robinson, who certainly had a game plan to attack against this diamond formation. And you know, because as soon as TFC ties it and Vancouver says, okay, we got to go out and find another goal somewhere, they knew exactly where to attack. They knew exactly how to get at TFC's defense.
Well, they
did it right away.
Well, that's the other scary part too, is like I said, 4 minutes after tying the game, looking at Vancouver at that moment when Giovinco scored the second goal, they were done and dusted. They're backed up into their own half of the field. The fans were electric. You said you never heard BMO Field that loud. Logically, they shouldn't get back into this game, let alone that quickly. And that's what's really scary when you're looking. And hopefully it's just a blip. It's just a blip for TFC.
I think, you know, you look at all four goals and certainly, you know, Steven Betashore, he lost his jock strap on that third goal, and good on Kikuchi Mane for making him lose that jock strap. But at the same time, Mane coasts right by Perki on that goal. Like, Perki doesn't offer any type of...
You have it in for Perki, eh?
He didn't have a great game.
I hear it in your voice when you say his name.
And Perki, like, and I got a tweet from somebody. I'll try to find it. And I agree with it. You know, when Perki has good games, he looks great. And when he has bad games, he looks real bad. This was one of his bad games. It was. And unfortunately for TFC, it comes in this one, and it's a home game where you cough up 3 points.
Yeah, it was. I can't even defend the man. But I can defend anyone on TFC, really, after that performance.
And I want to say, like, it's easy to make the jokes, and, oh, it's heritage,
real easy.
Heritage night, so... You know, obviously, TFC going to pay homage to the first 9 years of the franchise and how horrible they were defensively. And yeah, it's easy to say that. But you also have to look at the first 9 games and see all the good that happened there and take that into account. Right now, this is a blip on the radar. If it becomes a trend, then we're talking about something bigger picture.
Here.
But right now, all I think is this was one bad game.
Here it is. Previous versions of TFC, when they were 2-0 down at home, you've been in the stands. You've been in the stands as a fan. You've been working the games in the media booth, right?
Yeah.
How many times we've seen TFC go down 2 goals at home early and just roll over and die?
Yeah.
A lot. So if we're going to take a positive out of this, is to say this version of TFC are fighters. They did not give in at all from 2-0 down. They continue to push forward. How many chances in the game? They had 10 shots on goal, which goes to show you how great Usted was with 10 shots on goal.
Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC pitch side. Usted was great. He made a lot of big saves. And that is a positive that TFC did not fold up. They figured it out and they got back in it. And that is really
rare.
Really positive to take from this TFC team.
And rare. We don't see this.
And Sebastian Giovinco did so much well in this match, coming back defensively, winning the ball in his own defensive third, getting the goals. I mean, Giovinco was unbelievable. It was a bit of a throwback to 2015 when he was the be-all and end-all of the team, where we've been saying through the first 9 games it
that
wasn't
he was.
Necessarily the case.
Okay, and you know, I'm going to have something with his teammates there, okay? Like you said, the man has went back and forth. Can you at least pick the ball out of the net and run it back to center after he scores? Giovinco's going and picking up the ball and doing wind sprints afterwards.
Yeah, he's not,
let him catch his breath.
You know, and producer Emil Delich pointed this out. Like, when TFC is down, Giovinco's not celebrating so much. He is,
no.
He's ready to get back out there and bring the team back in the game. And that is very, very encouraging.
You only see the Vespa when he's when they're in the lead.
Mike tweets in at DanRicho590, says Irwin, Moore, Osorio, Perkey, all terrible on this night.
And there you have it. That's a collection of players.
Yeah. Theoren tweets in. He says, don't know what happened tonight. Absolute back out for the back line. Vince was the one who tweeted in and said, Perkey can be great at times, but when he's bad, he is really bad.
But it was a sexy loss because none of these fans went home. Well, you're disappointed because they lost. But it was bang for your buck. It was a tremendous game to watch.
Colin tweets and he says, also, Perkey made the ill-advised pass that led to Castillo's clear chance on the goal against, or on the chance at goal against Dallas last week. So, you know, there's some people pointing out some things about Damien Perkey. I think Perkey probably takes a seat for the match against New York City FC on Wednesday. But we know that Greg Vanney is finding ways to get Josh Williams into the lineup when he can. He wants to have three center backs rotating pretty much throughout the season. But Perkey and Moore remain the first choice.
Yeah. You really think that they come out maybe just for a rest?
Yeah, well, because you got the extra game.
Not for not playing a good game.
Not for playing a good game. Perkey has done more good than bad this season. He had one terrible game. Let's give him a pass for it. If it becomes a problem, then TFC will have to deal with it then. But right now, it's not a trend. It is just one game.
Let's not make much of this.
Yeah. Matthew tweets in, I was at field level. Poor games from Damien Perkey and Steven Betashore. Will Johnson was also ineffective. Vanney should have switched him and Bradley.
But do you see what I mean? Every player is getting picked out and pointed at.
Everybody except Sebastian Giovinco and
Michael Bradley.
And you know, that's kind of good to see. I mean, you know, Bradley, as we know, has a big, big effect on what this team
they are
does
supposed to be
every single week.
TFC's two best players, so it's great to see that they're not the worst worst.
We do have some news on Sebastian Giovinco and where it pertains to him going to Euro 2016. Italy did have a roster announced today. We'll get to that. We'll get to more on Jozy Altidore's injury as well here on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. But now we're very happy to be joined by the head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. That is Carl Robinson and former TFC man himself as well. Carl, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. You certainly found a way to break down the most stingy defense in all of MLS, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Thank you very much. Obviously, we knew it was going to be a tough game, and you know, the game is about fine lines, and you know, you need a little bit of luck on your side as well, which we got. But you know, we're delighted to come away because we know how difficult a place it is to play.
Describe the atmosphere at BMO. You've seen plenty yourself, an ex-Toronto FC player. Was it like the first season?
It was. There were some familiar faces as well, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later, which was surprising, but it's always a great atmosphere there. And I said to the guys, you know, we played 3 games in a week and, you know, we were running on empty really. But I said, you want to play in these games. It's a fantastic atmosphere. You know, the supporters are crazy. They get behind their team through thick and thin. And you want to play in games like that. And we certainly stood up to the challenge.
He's Carl Robinson, head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. You really got some outstanding performances in attack on Saturday, and Kakuta Mane in the MLS Team of the Week this week, obviously after his standout performance. I mean, I've seen a few of your games. I don't get to watch you guys all the time, but he's never quite stuck out to me as much as he did on Saturday. Just talk about his performance and how far he's come along.
Well, I think people sometimes forget he's still very young. You know, he's been with us for 4 years now, and he's only 21 years of age. We took him out of the draft at 17. And, you know, people have set high expectations for all players coming out of the draft. But, you know, they're usually 22, 23 years of age. He was 17. What we need to work on Kakuta with is his consistency. He's got fantastic potential, you know. But he's played nearly 80, 90 games now as a 21-year-old, which is which is the pathway we're going with our club, with obviously our residency guys as well. And we want to give youth a chance, and we do give youth a chance because it's different to some other teams, but we stand by that. So he's one of a number of talented players we have, young players we have, and with young players, they go through ups and downs, and Saturday was certainly an up for him.
David Oosted was my man of the match. He made at least half dozen great quality saves. Did his teammates buy him dinner at least afterwards?
Well, I encourage them all to go out together, which is important because you win together and you lose together, and it's easy when you lose to sort of separate and go out in little groups. But when you win, we don't do that. When you win, I make sure that they all go out together and enjoy the week because it has been a good, strong, positive week for us. But David come up big. He's a big player for us. He's one of the most experienced players we have in our locker room, and he comes up with key saves at the right time, and he certainly did that again on Saturday.
Carl, you guys really found a way to put a lot of pressure on TFC's defenders. Now, a lot of the TFC fans were commenting about how, Damien Perkey had the giveaway to Mane for the first goal and several different things. But, I think a lot of the way you set up the team in this game forced some of those turnovers as they happened.
Yeah, with every game that you go in, there's always a slightly tactical adjustment that you need to make due to the opposition team. And, I know Toronto as well as anyone. They're a very, very strong team. They got very experienced, strong key players in key areas. And, if we just tried to get into a football match with them, then, they've got more experience on the field than us and more energy after having the week's rest. And we didn't try to do that. We tried to set them little traps at certain times and allow them to have the ball, especially the defensive players, because we know Michael Bradley's a fantastic player, and the more time he's on the ball, the more he can hurt us, because the combination that he and Jovinko have with each other is is very, very strong, and they look for each other, which is what good players do. So we tried to limit that, and we tried to let other players have the ball and then put pressure on them, and it worked at times, and we managed to get great opportunities from pinching the ball from their giveaways, but it wasn't from luck, it was purposely planned.
It was a 7-goal thriller. It was a very entertaining match to watch. I know it wasn't that entertaining for the managers involved.
You had to keep the fans entertained. It was cold on Saturday night. It was freezing, Carl.
It was. It was very cold. And again, listen, from a neutral point of view, and it's great for everyone to watch. I had so many comments about how good the game was and that lot from my point of view, and I'm sure from Greg's point of view. It really is a head-scratcher because, we've gone into the game, we thought we could score goals against them. They're the stingiest defence in the league, and rightly so, because they got good players. And, not many people would have seen a 7-goal thriller coming.
What was the key point that you saw of weakness in TFC start? Because they start off really slow. So what did you attack first?
Well, again, I was asked this after the game, and I said, listen, I've got nothing but high praise for Toronto because I think they are, everyone knows my thoughts, they're a fantastic organisation and they're run by great people and they got good players. They got a very, very strong squad, and I genuinely believe that they will go on to win this Eastern Conference this year, because everyone seems to be beating everyone, but if they keep their key players fit, I think they'll be as strong as anyone in this league, on the Eastern side especially. So, what we tried to do is, again, we tried to limit certain players with space. And we just tried to, we thought the way they play and they like to dominate possession with Michael dropping deep and Jovinko getting into areas, that they would be slightly wide open because the fullback's better, who I know very well, and Justin Morrow like to attack. And when they have the ball, that's great. They create numbers over in situations. But if we can nip the ball in certain areas, then, they're 1v1 in key defensive areas. And that's why I slightly adjusted to put a little bit more pace up front, because I thought if we could do that and then, win the ball back, then their defenders in a 1v1 situation might be a little bit vulnerable of what they've been in the first, 7-8 games. And again, it worked.
Vancouver head coach, it is Carl Robinson joining us here on TFC Pitchside. Carl, did you send a note to your former player there, Stephen Betashore? You guys attacked him pretty good on Saturday night.
I did. I spoke to him, and I give him a big hug after the game. I've got a great relationship for Better, and if he had to leave me, which he did leave me, I wouldn't want him to go to any other place. To be honest, I know they'll look after him there, and it was nice seeing him. But you forget the 90 minutes of football, because usually one team's got a win and one doesn't, and we managed to get the victory, a narrow victory on Saturday. But it was great seeing him. And, you know, I've got all the time in the world for Steven.
Yeah, and he's becoming a fan favorite here in Toronto pretty quickly. But for you guys, that's three wins in a row now. Is this squad, are you feeling kind of starting to take shape and really starting to settle into the new campaign?
I think so. It helps winning. Obviously, it breeds a little bit of confidence, which we know. And, you know, but it's all about players. If you've got good players, then what you need is just your consistency out of players. And, you know, we've had a little bit of bad luck in the early stages part of the season. We've had, you know, a number of people injured or suspended and banned. And, you know, we just got on with it and dealt with it. You know, we haven't been able to have a settled team in the first 10 or so games. And, you know, that gives other players opportunities, because if you go with the same team week in, week out, you know, it's impossible to do it for 34 games, because you usually get burnt out towards the end. But over the last three games, we've been more settled, which has been good. And players have stepped up, because it is about the players. It's, you know, you talk about the tactics on Saturday, and, you know, it's fine lines. It's about players turning up and players producing that little bit of extra quality when it's needed. And my players did that on Saturday.
Carl Robinson, our guest. He is the coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps, but of course, a former TFC man himself. It was nice to see Danny Diccio out there. We see him a lot, see him sometimes at the TFC 2 games as well. But, you know, that was the first goal, or almost the nine-year anniversary, just a little bit later after his first goal for TFC, first goal for the franchise. Your memories of that game and that first win?
I still remember it like it was yesterday, with all those cushions flying and hitting players on the head.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the fourth game in where, you know, we hadn't scored a goal, and, you know, everyone was talking about it, but Deitch managed to pop up with a, you know, a good finish being in there, and then mayhem started. You know, it was crazy, and, you know, I was delighted to be part of that. So, you know, I'm delighted for Danny. You know, he's a good guy, he's a good character, and deservedly, you know, I think they've got him on the wall of honour, and rightly so, and he deserves that, because, you know, he's put a lot into that club as well.
First and last time they gave away free cushions at BMO Field.
Well, I know the away dugout was different to the home dugout. I know that. We weren't as comfortable as what Greg and the Toronto boys were on Saturday. So, you know, I did make a point of that as well.
When you came over here, Carl, did you expect to make such a career in MLS, not just as a player, but now as a coach as well?
It's a good question, and my wife's asked me that a few times, because I think I've been in North America now 9 years, and when I come at 29, you know, my plan was, you know, I'd started my qualifications, and I always wanted to get into coaching, you know, at that stage. So, you know, I was very advanced in that. You know, back then in 2007, I said, you know, my idea was to play and then become a player coach and coach. And, you know, sometimes plans go out the window, because, you know, when I bought a house in 2010 and 2 weeks later I got traded, then suddenly plans change. So it happens in football. But looking back at it, I wouldn't change anything. You know, I've played for three fantastic organizations in Toronto, New York Red Bulls, two, and then working with Vancouver Whitecaps now as the coach. So, you know, I've got praise for all of them. You know, they're all different, which is good. But, you know, I have my own goals in life, and, you know, at the moment I'm really enjoying being coach over here and enjoying working with good players and good people, because that certainly does help.
Hey, Carl, I know TFC fans still hold you in very high regard, and as they should, and now they're all impressed by the job you're doing over there in Vancouver. Keep up the great work, and wish you guys all the best.
Thanks, guys, and good luck to you.
There he is, coach of Vancouver Whitecaps, Carl Robinson, and we appreciate him for joining us here on his day off. As Vancouver's had a busy week, a lot of travel in there, but they got three wins, and I'm sure the Whitecaps are happy about that. They're in the Western Conference playoff picture at the moment.
He said something interesting, though, during the post game. It was just like, this league is just, it's funny. It's that way, you know, you go four games or five games without getting a victory, and you're down in the gutter, and everyone's calling for your head. But, you know, three wins on the bounce, and you're going to be MLS yeah. Cup contenders. So that's how that league is.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to quantify it, and it's kind of hard to, you know, just...
You're never out, ever.
You don't know how much to make of something. And how much to not make of something. And right now, we're still in the early part of the season, as far as I'm concerned. And there's a lot that still has to shake out for TFC. I'm Dan Riccio. He is Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC Pitch Side. And again, you can always tweet us at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. Tej tweets in. He says, I don't think Vanny is completely off the hook. He has Betashore and Morrow so far up the wings that Parkey and Moore were left to play wingbacks at times, with Bradley as the lone center back. All three of them played hurried in this role. And you kind of heard Carl talk about it there.
He said that. If I can remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a tactic that he knew that he could exploit. Cut off service to Michael Bradley.
You pressure the ball every time it's going to Bradley. Don't give him time.
Yeah, don't let Bradley be the guy that's playing the ball out of the back.
Cut that passing lane right off.
Let Parkey and Betashore and whoever else, let them be the guys passing the ball out of the back. And at least then we'll have a better chance of causing turnovers. And that's exactly what happened in the first few minutes of the game.
Yeah, and he said he wanted the fullbacks to be bombing up the wings, because usually they're going to get caught if they can get them on the counterattack. They don't play defensively that well, even though he was very complimentary of the TFC tactically. So that's exactly what he did. And that's where the errors happened. They got caught. And it is.
You know what? Applaud Carl Robinson. He did a great job. He knew exactly what to do against TFC in this game, set up his players properly, chose the right players to do it. And, it's one game. Vandy's got to come back. He's got to make some adjustments. And we've seen that Vandy's been able to make adjustments, not just in game, but as the season goes on, to how what the best way to set up the TFC squad is. So there's a lot of promise on both sides here, but Carl Robinson got the best of it on this day. Rob Henriquez, who made our beautiful show graphic, says, stick to what works. Formation shifts game to game, good or bad. I remember Endo as last man back at one point. So,
everyone was everywhere.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess.
And it was the same thing in the locker room after the game. It was a ghost town.
Not as many guys stuck around after the season opening win. All right, let's talk about Jozy Altidore's injury a little bit more. This is his fourth since the 2014 World Cup, and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And what does TFC do from here? How do they fill that role is going to be the question, Thomas.
Yeah, it's a fine question, Dan, and I don't have an answer for you. However, this running narrative of doom and gloom with Jozy, and, you know, even someone in, you know, we've been calling out the media of late, and you know, someone asked in the post-game press conference, and just Vanny was completely annoyed, and just he kept his composure, let's say, was Altidore missed, and he missed the penalty. He ruined it for the team, and he was just very negative towards Altidore. And it's like almost blaming him. Like, if that penalty went in, it would have been a different game. But it was 2-0 at that point. Two other goals happened.
Yeah,
I hate that type of reporting.
Some of the TFC
just looking for some. I know it's your job.
There was nobody to harp on in the press box this week for eating too much.
Yeah,
but.
I know it's your job to get, but it's just such tabloid journalism. I hate it.
Hate's
a powerful word.
This for Altidore is now becoming a bit of a problem, I guess. And, the hamstring kept him out from July 14th of 2015, kept him out of the Gold Cup. And then, you know, again this year, got the hamstring injury in January. And now this one here in May. So, a lot of hamstring injuries for Jozy Altidore. We hope it's not a recurring thing. Some guys just have that.
Is it the same hamstring?
I believe so, yeah.
That's even more scary.
And that's the issue that TFC has to deal with right now. So, probably going to see Mo Babouli later this week. Maybe we see TFC go back to the 4-3-3 with Jovinko at the top of it. Maybe we see more Babouli. I know I talked about it on the match preview, how far Jordan Hamilton has fallen off the depth chart. He's still going to be the first guy that called up.
As far as Ashton Morgan has fallen down the depth charts?
Ashton Morgan's injured, so he got injured in his TFC2 match
that you complain about. But how far has he fallen off the depth charts?
He's still behind Morrow as the second choice left back.
Yeah, okay.
He is, if he's not hurt.
When we see him in this game, anyways, at all this season.
The thing is with Jordan Hamilton is he's on a senior team contract. So if TFC needs a guy, he's going to be the one that gets called up from TFC2, even if Raheem Edwards is playing better than him right now.
But you have to say, don't you think they should just go with Babouli? I mean, you have him there. He's a homegrown player.
They're going to have to make up the numbers at forward, and probably Jordan Hamilton is that guy. As for Sebastian Giovinco, Italy came out with a camp roster. It's like a fitness camp that's going on with Antonio Conte and stuff. And Sebastian Giovinco, I guess, wasn't ever going to be on this list, but it is the first list that we see without Sebastian Giovinco.
But also minus players from...
Yeah, it's also minus players from Juventus and Milan, who still have to play the Domestic Cup in Italy this weekend. So there's some significant omissions there. Andrea Pirlo's not on this list either. He still may go to Euro. There is the final 30-man provisional list will be made on May 23rd. And I'm reading the tea leaves, and I don't think Sebastian Giovinco will be on that, on the Euro 2016 team.
Yeah, because you know Pirlo has the red carpet. He doesn't need to go to these provisional.
And the official roster will come out, I believe, May 31st. So I'm just reading the tea leaves.
You were saying something interesting to me earlier on, though, with in regards to Giovinco, though, not making it in relation to Jermaine Defoe.
Well, I'm
not the same type of character, no, but it's explain
not
the point.
It's not, it's a bit apples and oranges, but talking with some people at TFC, they kind of quietly hope that he does get called up for the Euro just so that he doesn't
Jermaine
have,
Defoe gave up when he didn't
make the World Cup.
Yeah, so I don't see Giovinco having the same type of character.
Giovinco was always going to be a fringe player on the Azzurri squad. And I don't think anything he would have done in Serie A or MLS changed that. So it's tough to say, and it's unquantifiable until we get there. But I think there are a lot of people who just believe that if Giovinco makes the Euro squad, at least that's one thing you don't have to worry about, is him feeling any sort of dissent towards his decision to
low
come to
confidence,
MLS.
Confidence, anything, yeah.
Because he's been unbelievable, he's done everything right, and still, he deserves the call-up, especially with the state of Italy's strikers right now. I look at Antonio Conte's squad choices so far, and they're dumb all the way around. So,
Conte
I don't know.
Had Giovinco when he was in Juventus, right? Yeah. Did he have?
But what he doesn't fit into that 3-5-2 so well.
Was that, what was the relationship there?
It was good, yeah. But Giovinco never fit into the 3-5-2 system so well.
So maybe he doesn't fit into his Italy system as well,
exactly,
is what you're saying.
Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. When we return, we will discuss the match to come on Wednesday night. It is an expected sellout. New York City FC is joint atop MLS's Eastern Conference.
Oh, the MLS?
Right now on 16 points. We will discuss them and preview the match to come Wednesday at BMO Field next. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitch Time.
iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, it's Stephen Basher, defender for Toronto FC. You're listening to TFC Pitside.
Sheldon able to cross it in first time. All the way across for Pirlo. Off his shoulder. In for McNamara. McNamara's shot is in! Tommy McNamara, are you serious? To give New York City the lead once again.
Right out of his feet. Doesn't have to hit it hard. He just places it in that upper 90. It's a long way out. Gets it up and down. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I just saw Andrea Pirlo smile.
Mr. MLS, Tommy Mack, maybe the goal of the week as New York City FC get a third consecutive win. This one over Portland, 2-1 in Portland as well. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitch Side. Tommy Mack.
Yeah, it was a fantastic goal, but I still give the goal of, well, Giovinco's first goal, that touch.
Yeah.
It's just to make that touch from that long pass.
By the way, before we get to our preview with New York City FC, Giovinco did set a couple of more records this week. So his second goal of the match put him on 30 goals and 20 assists in 43 MLS matches. He became the fastest player in MLS history to have 50 goals plus assists.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
How they try to
I hate how they call it points.
They try to weasel in points in soccer. There's no points in soccer. There's goals and assists. You don't combine the two.
So the previous fastest player to 50 goals and assists was Robbie Keane in 48 matches.
We refuse here at TFC Pitch Side. We refuse to say points.
Yeah, we refuse.
Yeah.
Also, Jovinko passed Dwayne Di Rosario for the all-time franchise lead in goals in MLS play. Still trails all competitions, but in MLS play.
Good for Gio.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And we're lucky to have him.
He's that damn good.
He's certainly a much better player than Jermaine Defoe ever was. Just throwing that out there. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. So TFC set for a Wednesday night fixture at BMO Field. It is apparently going to be a sellout as New York City's big stars come to town. David Villa, who just destroys TFC every time he plays them, and Andrea Pirlo for the first time playing here in Toronto as well.
I'm kind of bummed I'm not going to be able to go to this game. I'm actually in New York.
I'm really upset.
And they're coming here.
Because, you know, I'm not going to be able to be there either.
Why aren't you going to be able to be there?
Because I'm stuck manning the Sportsnet sports update desk.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah. Not happy. I'm really upset about it.
You think?
Stop laughing at me. Jesus.
Oh, man.
And we don't know about Frank Lampard yet, who Patrick Vieira said before yesterday's game against Portland, he believes Frank could play against Toronto or against the New York Red Bull over the weekend.
Is it supposed to rain on Wednesday?
I think so.
Yeah, Frank Lampard's not going to play it.
I think...
Not on a wet pitch.
You know what I kind of think? I think New York City FC had to say something about Frank because he's been questionable all season long. So they had to put out something positive, right? But he's probably not playing anytime soon.
His status on the team is questionable. Through injury.
Do they even need him? They are tops in the Eastern Conference, tied with Montreal on 16 points without Frank Lampard. I mean, it's a good run. And as we said,
deeper into the stats, though, and there's a lot of flaws in their game.
Yeah, as we've said all along, though, you know, teams go on these nice runs and you get a good feeling about them. And then, you know, all of a sudden everything comes apart. So New York, they've won three straight, but over their last four, they've collected 10 of 12 points.
But the previous four, they collected only 2 points.
Yeah.
And, so there
and,
you have.
And I was making fun of them right here on this show.
There you have MLS in a nutshell.
And doing jokes about Frank Lampard being missing. They've still given up 16 goals in 11 games. They've scored 17, so that's a positive for them.
You know what else is a positive?
What?
It's not all David Villa.
Yeah.
He has 8 goals. It's half of his team's goals.
Right there with Sebastian Jovinko and Fernando Ari for the league lead.
But you take Villa out of this team, they're a lot worse than TFC taking Jovinko out, I think, personally.
You do?
I do. I do because you still
hasn't
have,
been on 100% of their goals though.
No, but I just think that TFC are a little bit more. They have quality players in quality positions that can do the job better than New York City FC.
Yeah, I guess so. And you know, David Villa has been huge for them, and he's shown that he's still got a lot left in him, despite you know having a lot of mileage on those legs with Spain and with Barcelona and all the different clubs that he played with over the years. But what I will say is that New York, they don't have the feeling of being a big time squad because, you know, Josh Saunders in goal has not been good. He's given up a lot of bad goals on defense. Matarita has been a really good find for them. And RJ Allen had the beautiful assist on David Villa's goal over the weekend. But overall, that defense leaves a lot to be desired. They've found ways, and I'll give Patrick Vieira credit to this. They've found ways to patch up the holes in their team.
Very sloppy.
Yeah.
Very sloppy victories. And, you know, any club needs those. You're going to have those sloppy victories. Difference is that And New York City FC give up a lot of goals, so they need to score a lot of goals. TFC can win games 1-0, and I don't think New York City FC can do that.
Aside from this past weekend against Vancouver, yeah, 2-1, TFC has shown...
yeah. Remember, we said...
one game.
Blip in the radar.
Blip on the radar.
Speck.
But TFC hasn't won a game this year when giving up a goal. That's crazy, right? I mean, they have 4 wins. All of them have been clean sheets.
So are we going to call a clean sheet on Wednesday?
Not the way David Villa has been scoring against TFC. What is it, six goals against TFC?
Well, one he used his arm.
Three matches?
One he used his arm.
Yeah, one he did use his arm. And a couple of them were penalties as well. But, you know, New York got away with one in Portland. They got pretty much dominated through and through. They had to clear the ball 26 times. They held less than 40% possession. Not that I think possession is the be-all and end-all, but when you're under 40%, that's significant.
Here's a significant stat. Portland, 31 crosses.
Yeah.
New York City, 5. And they scored 2 goals.
Yeah. They made the most of their chances.
Counterattack.
Much like Vancouver made the most of their chances against TFC this past weekend. Mix Diskerud hasn't been great for these guys in terms of, you know, when they brought over Mix Diskerud, people were really excited, and he hasn't been anything close to what they hoped for. And I hear him getting crapped on, quite honestly, more than anything else. So there's some work to do there for New York City FC as well. Producer Bozy is saying injuries in my head. And I think that means Jonathan Osorio unlikely to play on Wednesday, re-aggravated that ankle injury against Vancouver on Saturday.
That did not look good.
No, it didn't. But apparently he's feeling a lot better, so it's not as serious as it may have looked on Saturday.
Well, they did mention on the home opener, he did mention that
he rushed.
He rushed it, and he wasn't 100%. So,
and Marky Delgado likely still out on Wednesday with another hamstring injury. But other than that, TFC pretty healthy. And some positives to take away: Jay Chapman looked really good when he came on for Osorio.
Lovitz looked great.
And Lovitz looked really good on the left side.
Babouli had two chances
to score. You would have liked him see him get his first MLS goal.
But how can you get mad at Babouli when Altidore's not scoring either?
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like, for a young player, and I've said this about Endo, for a young player, more so than actually finishing the play, I think that'll come. But I want to see them getting into the right spots, you know, reading the game that they can get into those positions, those goal-scoring positions, especially for attacking players.
Well, of course, and Endo, too, like, he didn't have a spectacular game over the weekend. But you know what? He wasn't glaring. You weren't looking at him and saying, okay, he's doing this wrong, he's doing that wrong. He was kind of invisible, but he didn't have a bad game. And that's all you can hope for from a rookie.
Yeah, Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side. So Wednesday night, it is a 7 o'clock kickoff. The Gardner's not closed, so that's a bonus. What's the weather going to be like? I hate looking at my iPhone weather because it's always wrong. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but Wednesday says...
The Android weather is wrong usually, too.
Sunny and cloudy, high of 14 for Wednesday, at least according to my iPhone weather app.
Cold night.
Yeah, another freezing night down by the lake. Can the weather just get warmer? That's something we are all asking. I don't think we have time to touch on Zlatan.
We don't really have to touch on it. You could just say it's not happening this year.
It's not. He's not coming to MLS this year. There's reports that he might go to Manchester United. There were reports that he might go to the LA Galaxy. My question is, how the heck is that even possible with all the designated players that they already have?
Jared's coming off the books after this season. Keane might retire after this season, but Giovanni Dos Santos
is there. Here's a prediction. Zlatan, if he ever comes to MLS, it's not until the new LAFC team comes in or David Beckham's Miami United.
Because he wants to be the face.
Yeah,
exactly. And he'll get max dollars.
Max dollars. And this year he made like 15 million euros with PSG before taxes.
And you know Zlatan's not going to come to New York because he wants good weather.
Yeah. Zlatan. I'm Dan Riccio.
Zlatan comes to your house, you're the guest.
Exactly. So Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. That's it. Stick a fork in us. We are done. We will not have our typical match preview, well, at least for Wednesday's game against New York City FC. But
we gave it
Friday,
to you right here.
We did give it to you right here. On Friday, we will do our match preview for the Columbus Crew. We'll be here over the weekend.
I might even be going to the New York Derby over the weekend.
Oh, you're
going
to go to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'm going to try to get in there.
And get it. Stay away from the crazy fights, because there were a couple last year.
Yeah, eh? Yeah. I don't think they'll catch me in the media booth. Unless I have to go as a civilian, then maybe.
All right, we are done. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, producer Emil Delitzsch. This has been TFC Pitchside.